All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Hopped off the plane at LAX.
With my jeans and my cardigan. You actually can see the whole Hollywood Center.
You can. Well, we are live from LA. Let's get into it with the lead. We are live in downtown Los Angeles for today's Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of Oilers Nation Every Day. We packed up the Sports Closet studio and we took her on the road for games 3 and 4. Welcome in over on the Oilers Nation YouTube. Happy to see everybody, all the usuals in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat as well. And for the next 90 minutes, we're going to be getting you ready for game 3 between the Oilers and Kings, a series that is surprisingly sitting at 1-1, Jay. We didn't even have you on the Giant Game Day edition of our last show, but again, we're boots on the ground. First off, if you happen to be watching and you are in Los Angeles, we are going to be at First Draft downtown LA tonight at 4 o'clock. We're going to be doing a live show from there at 5:30 as well. So come on and have a pint with us. Have a crispy cold.
On Tyler.
On Jay.
On me.
Whoa.
Oh.
No.
Last word in. Last guy in. Yeah. On Liam. Let's go.
I want to ask a question about this place.
Okay.
Sure. Only you would know. But Tyler told me this, and I want to make sure. Can you pull your own beers at this place?
It looks like they have one of those, like, choose your own adventure draft beer walls.
I'm going to do what little kids do when they pour their own fountain drinks. I'm just going to go put a little of
swamp
every
water.
Beer. Yeah, make a little swamp water.
Yeah, you can do that. Get a little sour with a stout, with maybe a pale ale.
Well, maybe after a few.
Or maybe to begin.
Oh, yes.
But if you're in LA and you're going to the game, yeah. We're only a few blocks away from crypto.com at First Draft. Come and join us. We'll be doing a live show. Maybe if you show up, maybe we'll bring you on. We're going to have a special guest.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple special guests.
We're
keeping Bag Milk. He has to sit behind the curtain.
He's behind the curtain, yeah.
Yeah, he's, to use your favorite word, he's a bit of a cuck on this show.
Not watching.
He's listening.
Yeah, I was that 2 episodes ago, my last time. But it produced a W, so I will happily do it again if we have to.
Yeah, I'll just unplug your mic again. But BM's going to join us on that later show. We're going to have some other special guests joining us from the bar down in LA. So this is not the only
one. Had breakfast with him.
Cool. That's funny. Can we say his name or no?
No.
Okay. No, let's keep it a surprise.
Okay, well, I'll tell the story after then from what BM told us before about him.
Well, Yes, he's got two looks.
He does.
He's got two looks.
Liam, you need to put the mic closer to your mouth.
I'm going to switch it around.
Aren't you a radio and television graduate?
Classically trained, Liam.
I am not classically trained. They're telling me all these tips of how you do stuff on the road. I didn't know any of this. Liam can't work his headset. But he's buying all the beers, folks, so let's give him some, cut him some slack.
What are you wearing?
I think I was on the wrong side. But now this feels wrong, too. I don't know.
He's out of sorts.
People can hear me.
Yeah, as long as people can hear you, that's all that matters. All right.
That feels better.
We're going to be joined by Zach Lang at 1 o'clock, but up until then, it's going to be the usual run of Sherwood Ford Giant game day questions and topics and a full preview for tonight's game as the Oilers will be looking to go up 2-1 in their series against the Los Angeles Kings. Jay, again, the last time I would have spoken to you really at all about this, the Oilers were up 1-0. We're feeling good. And now this series is 1-1. I guess I'll let you say to the people, since you haven't given a take on this show in quite some time, what did you make of the game 2 loss?
It was just annoying. We were brutal in the first period, and we just gave them the game in that first. We clawed back to make it interesting, and then obviously it was a little bit... well, we can talk about overtime as a separate thing, but I just feel that we lost the game in the first period by just not being in the game. We didn't show up on time, and that was just frustrating because... just such a good opportunity to really, really put this series on the right path coming on the road. So I just left the building very disappointed, not discouraged, just disappointed. Like, why?
Well, I think another part of it too is that Drew Doughty goal was so annoying because they had it was 2-0. It's okay. Goal and you're back in it. Kulak bangs one home. Crowds back in it,
yeah.
And then they score. And it was such a bad goal, too. And I truly believe if Skinner had stood his ground a little bit more there and actually not, he fell back so easy, he would have just been a goalie interference goal.
Yeah.
He plowed right through him.
So we're getting another look at that goal here. So this has been our big debate as we were flying down, had our travel day yesterday.
I said this was our worst goal allowed.
So that's what Liam said. This was the worst one allowed. Aaron, can we flip all the way back to game one? I want to go through a little exercise here and see if we can maybe get on the same page somewhat with Stuart Skinner's performance last game. The first one, the Oilers have to get that puck out at the blue line. Bouchard's got to make a better play. Fogle's got to stop on the puck. Drysdale's got to stop on a puck. The Oilers do have a bit of a problem stopping on pucks in general. They seem to like to do the little flyby and quick chip to create an odd man rush. But this turnover, the pass to Kempe, very good shooter. And it's, from just inside the top of the circle. I actually feel like Stuart Skinner should have had that one. I feel like it's one of those goals where a legit 1A starting goalie, which I believe Stuart Skinner to be, should have that one, regardless of who.
He should have had one of two, either that one or the Kopitar, not both.
You're right. He's got to make a big save at some point. So I guess you can give him a half on each of those goals. He should have stopped one of them. The second goal they score, Adrian Kempe bats it out of the air. That's a high skill play.
You got one. It was just annoying because it was Kempe again. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God.
No problem with...
He's a factor against us in the playoffs. Maybe we should hone in on him.
We'll talk about that with the game notes. But just sticking again with the Skinner thing, no beef on this goal. We saw the third goal, the Doughty one. You say he should have. I think with the way Doughty makes that move and Nugent's stick lift coming in when it does, as much as it's just hindsight and you can't actually do this, but he stops that if Nugent doesn't lift his stick. I actually think he read it okay. And part of the reason it went in is because he read it, I thought, pretty well.
It just feels so clumsy.
Yeah.
Shouldn't go. That one should not go in. In the timing of that goal, people you see bitching about the fans in game two, not bringing the same energy in game one. These are two completely different games. We're up 4-0.
Yeah.
Top was blown off the building early and just sustained. We let them in the game early. They are getting their goals. We made it 2-1. Mm-hmm. Fans starting to feel good. And then bam, that goal happens right after. Takes the wind out of our sails. And then, we claw back to make it tie and force overtime. And there was that pocket of time where the building was bumping. But then we let them get the lead again. So, we have to be proactive and we have to get them going. But stuff like that takes the wind out of our sails.
Yeah.
And also, too, on that Doughty goal, to take the blame from Skinner away a little bit, I guess, what were the defensemen doing? Pinked so hard.
We were bad in the first. Yeah. And then there's also, where was everyone on the Kopitar goal?
Yeah.
I know. We're
getting out of order. The fourth goal for me in the third period, that was the worst one. I hated that. And it's situational a little bit because it's early in the third period. And I know we keep turning our heads, but we're looking at our monitor. It's from way the hell outside. I know there's traffic. Even if it hits something, positionally, you absolutely need to stop that shot. And again, 3-0 into the period or whatever it was. That's a point where you make that save. The Oilers can go back and create some momentum. They did. They scored right away. Yep. They had the CC chance. Like, they responded to this well. But this shouldn't have been a moment where they were responding to more adversity. That should have been a moment they were grabbing hold of that hockey game.
Yep.
And they didn't because of Stuart Skinner's play. So again, I've been a guy who stands up for Stuart Skinner consistently throughout the year. And I still am very high on what he can do for this team in the playoffs. But you just can't ignore the fact that his play, it's in the top three for reasons they lost last game.
Yeah, it definitely is, but I just don't want to isolate it to that because we were so bad in that first period.
I know.
Yeah.
But they did enough to fight through that in front of the goaltending. They were the better team in the second. They were the better team in the third.
And they would have won the game, but you remove the first, they win the game.
And you remove one of the however many below average unacceptable goals we just said, and they win the game. That's why I'm just saying it's in the top three. I think I agree.
Yeah, 100%. I just don't want to isolate on Skinner because we're also in playoff mode.
Yeah.
We got to try to stay positive. So I don't want to just absolutely just roast Skinner. Mm-hmm. Off night, we needed a save. But man, we could have avoided a lot of these crazy mistakes that led to really high danger chances on the wrong person's stick.
I think the big problem from the game, from game two, is they just allowed... They allowed LA to be in the game from the start. They allowed LA to play their own style. There was so many times McDavid went to go through and it's like, oh, well, there's the 1-3-1. And it was just so congested. He wasn't able to find his rhythm. But also, you know, the blame, a lot of people were putting it on Skinner, but like, your stars didn't show up the way they did in game one. Like, I know Hyman got a goal. McDavid got an assist. Draisaitl a couple of plays. They absolutely dominated them in game one.
I know.
And then it took Dylan Holloway scoring a pair of goals for them to be in the game in game two.
It was just, you know, it's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And
it's not easy.
You got to bring your, I know, but you still got to bring your intensity every game. It's different than regular season. So, you know, that was like, now they've just, now think about the mental side of this series now. Mm-hmm. LA now thinks they have a chance.
Totally.
Right? And we totally could have just ousted that and just, you know, affected their will.
Well, in a way, like the first period again was a microcosm of that, where the first goal we knew was going to be massive because if the Oilers go out and get it, it's a little bit of like a spirit breaker for the Kings, where it's like, okay,
oh, here's the Oilers again.
Here's the Talbot chance, whatever. Instead, you let them score first and they can settle into their 1-3-1. They can play a little bit more defensively, right? Yep. And I mean, I know the Oilers, again, it's in a weird way encouraging because the Oilers actually fought through it pretty well and still scored 4 goals in that hockey game. But now you're coming back on home ice and a bunch of factors work in the Kings' favor. They get their last change now, which means they're going to be able to do whatever they want in terms of a matchup with 29 and 97. They're going to be better at setting up in their system. They're going to have the crowd behind them at Crypto.com Arena. So again, a real, real missed opportunity, both in the first period, both late in that game. I think another thing that is you should probably point out, and it kind of ties into the Skinner conversation, that save Cam Talbot made, the one on Bouchard was exceptional. The one on Draisaitl was just all world. Like that shot is labeled and it's going in and it's an all world pass from Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Set him up all alone in his office.
Desperation, put his hand in the right spot. Like that shot goes, you know, 6 centimeters either direction it's in, but kudos to Talbot for being there. But
it's in and we're talking up a 2-0 series and like all that stuff. Yeah. Right? Like where the frustration seeps in. And I guess from the Oilers' perspective, you can't let that happen. You have to, in a weird way, wipe game two.
Well, it's interesting now too, because the first two times they've come down to LA, the Oilers won game two. And we're coming into it with, I know momentum changes game to game, but like it's a different mojo right now as they lost the game. But listening to the post game, they seem to believe LA is getting lucky goals, which is true for the majority of them. Like you look at game one, one goes as nurse's stick and
2 went off skates.
Yeah, 2 went off skates. And then you look at game two, even what was it? The Fiala one was the fourth goal that does hit Ekholm right in front of Skinner. So it's like the Oilers are still able to find their game even when they're playing this bad, and they can kind of tighten things up and just
just play a cleaner game. They're going to be fine.
Like, everyone's ripping Skinner's save percentage, and his game one save percentage does not do him any justice. Like, it's like just because of it should have been. It's what it should have been. Obviously, it isn't that because those pucks had to go in, but it's because like that nurse one was insane. Like,
yeah, so unlucky.
It's so unlucky. So we are getting better goaltending than the save percentage would suggest, but obviously, game two was not the brightest spot of his. You know, playoff performance to date.
Yep. All right. Let's get into. I want to do game notes for our friends at Douglas Mattress. Our sleeping arrangement up at the hotel is. It's interesting, and it really
makes. We should order one real quick. Liam could use one.
Liam could use one. Liam's sleeping on the floor with couch cushions. It is no Douglas mattress. You sleep like a baby on a Douglas mattress. I miss mine right now. We're going to be on the road for the next four nights, but you can sleep just as good as I do, at least when I'm at home on my Douglas, by heading to douglas.ca/OilersNation right now. Every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle, and with that, you get two memory foam pillows with the pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with any order. Simply head to douglas.ca/OilersNation. Your game notes for tonight. We talked about getting off to a good start. That is imperative. Jason Greger pointed out in his piece over at OilersNation.com, the Oilers are 8-1 when they score first in playoff games against the LA Kings. Ooh. The LA Kings are 5-1 when they score first against the Edmonton Oilers.
We're all aligned. That is the number one key to the game.
There is no live betting the comeback. Whoever scores first wins the hockey
game. I did twice.
I came very close.
I did twice.
I did when they were down 3-1, and then I was feeling like a freaking genius.
Yeah,
tough break. But first goal is going to be massive tonight. Having a good start is going to be massive in this one. And Liam, you talked about slowing down that Kings top line. You talked about Adrian Kempe and how they got a zero in on him. Greger pointed out just how good those numbers are. Kempe, Kopitar, and Quinton Byfield at 5-on-5. They've played 13-0-4 together. They've outscored the Oilers 4-0 in those 13 minutes. Edmonton has to find a way to get some sort of a shutdown effort against that trio. And I don't know which line is best suited to do that.
Some of, like, you look at some of the goals that they've scored, and it's just like, just play your position or make a not a soft play. Like, just don't give them back the puck. Mm-hmm. Right. I know that's the game plan of LA against 97. Don't give him the puck. Do not volunteer the puck to him.
Well, like you said, they're capitalizing off the other's mistakes. And I guess when you have a guy like Kopitar on that line, who is that defensive-minded forward, it's gonna be difficult to not do that at the same time. I wonder if they'll just go fire with fire. Like, I wonder if they'll just try and match McDavid with that line.
Dano, they're gonna glue. If I don't know, it's Dano okay?
Oh yeah, but yeah, I guess it's that. So last time it was Drysdale's line that went at it. I just don't know. I don't know if that's defensive enough.
Well, and again, the problem is tonight that the Kings have last change. So they're going to get to pick which trio that top line plays again. So I'll be honest, like, I'm optimistic heading into this game. I'm optimistic that the Oilers can still make this a quick series. But one thing that makes me nervous is looking at how dominant that line has been and going, oh boy, that was with last change that they were able to do that. Does Edmonton have a trio that can just go up against them and tighten it up? I don't know if, you know, the Drysdale-Fogel combination has it in them to tighten it up. You'd love to see it. Like, again, Draisaitl is a guy who
then keep possession.
Yeah, there is that too.
Possession is a very, very good defensive weapon.
They were winning a lot of draws last game. Like, they've been pretty good in.
We were sloppy. We were just sloppy in game two, and that's why I left so disappointed. I was like, why are we doing this? This is a statement series. We've done this three years in a row. We keep them alive in this by having an off night, and then we have to just claw back and put that extra effort to win the series. And you know, this can easily still go this way. They can be, you know what? We need to wake up, guys. Like, we're doing it again. Let's snap out of it and just win this out. Like, this still can be a five-game series, but it only should be a five-game series. And it's not to discount the Kings. It's just if the Oilers are the Oilers, it should be a five-game series. And that, in terms of the playoff run, is very significant. Every extra game is such an extra toll on the body, so much gas depletion from the playoff tank, that just wake up and get back to work, because it will allow you to relax if you can when you need it. Anyways.
Can I give a key to victory, Tyler?
Well, no, because we're not in that segment game yet. Note? Yeah.
My game note is that we need 97 likes on this video.
Okay. Hit the like button. The road team over the last, again, two series and then including this year is actually above 500 in this matchup with a record of 8-7. The Oilers are 9-4, though, in their last 13 trips to Crypto.com Arena. So a little bit of optimism.
I'm not concerned. I'm just annoyed right now. That's all. I'm a little annoyed. A little vexed.
Were you guys surprised to see how quiet the Oilers' top line was? Again, going back to a game note here at 5-on-5, Adam Henrique had one shot. McDavid and Hyman did not register a shot at 5-on-5. You couple that with the Kings' big dogs getting a lot better in game two after McDavid was in video game mode from the get-go in game one. It was surprising to see his lack of effectiveness at 5-on-5, and I realize that's a bit of a harsh way to describe it, but also when you sit there during the intermission and watch the way the panel was breaking it down, when McDavid was coming into the neutral zone, three guys were swarming him, and the other two guys were staring at him. So, and I talked about this yesterday with Gazdick, it's almost like this game of ping pong where like McDavid dominated and looked so good off the rush in game one. The Kings responded and said, we're just going to glue a couple more bodies onto you.
Yep.
Now in game three, McDavid knows that's going to be their approach. How is he going to adjust now? That's something I'm going to be
watching. Well, you should have two open line mates, right? In that system.
That's what I mean, right?
Like you've just bought them half the rink of ice. So yeah, hopefully there's some adjustment there, but also Connor is a guy to just single-handedly solve the three-man problem himself. But I think, you know, leveraging his line mates there, they're going to have a little bit more ice.
I wonder,
that should be interesting.
I wonder if we don't see McDavid start to chip in the puck a little bit more tonight.
Well, I saw Dry was doing that a little bit.
I think they're maybe, because they are doing a similar swarm thing to Draisaitl where they're just attacking him. I wonder if it's not going to be a point of emphasis tonight. Make sure those wingers are going a buck 10. And, you know, when McDavid enters the zone with speed, it's usually coupled with whoever's on that side of the ice with him standing still at the blue line, right?
Yeah.
And then McDavid's option is to either carry it in all himself or do the little 3-foot chip to the half boards and then they set up from there. I wonder if we don't see more of like a timed approach into the offensive zone from the Oilers. And that way, when everyone swarms McDavid, he can even chip into the far side corner and it's Henrique or Hyman just hammering.
Here come the offsides.
Well, that too. The Oilers aren't great at staying onside.
Here come the offsides.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just got to... They got to attack quicker. And not that doesn't mean with speed.
It's they
just,
scored four goals.
No, I know.
Like they in the first, but like, it, yes, they do. Like, you're not wrong, but they scored four goals. That should be enough to win a playoff game.
Yes.
Fuck the track meets. Screw it. Tighten everything up. Four goals is more than enough.
But isn't that just playing the way the Kings want? Is if you want to tighten it up and try to win this thing 2-0?
No. Like, four goals should be enough.
Oh.
Like, they're doing enough to score four goals. Just don't let them score four. Like, there's very obvious things you can point to limit them from scoring the goals they score. Like, easy things. Not like, holy shit, we're blown away with their speed and their skill and their this. Yeah. They're like, no, we put it on a tee for them here, and then we did it there. And then, oh, you know, that was a bad goal we let in. Like, stop that.
Well, it seems like shooting a bit from distance is kind of a way to beat Talbot too. Like, you look at
shoot on Talbot. We didn't shoot.
I mean, those Holloway goals again.
Henrique in the first game,
wrist shot from a
but
little
good
bit
shots. Oh, good shots. But we know Talbot's weaknesses. Hello, they're right here. They're called above his shoulders. He goes down, tuck him up. Let's go. We hit. That's the stuff we got pissed off when he. With him as an Oilers goalie. Do you think that stuff's gone away?
And the damn Twins.
We should have the book. Well, the Twins are older. He's getting sleep now.
Yeah.
On his Douglas mattress.
On his Douglas mattress.
I was going to say, I talked about how I didn't sleep good. You sleep like a baby because you don't get woken up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You said you didn't move for some
I didn't
hours.
Move for like a large portion of my sleep last night. I was exhausted. Maybe that's why I'm so recharged. I wanted to get a good sleep because it is game day.
Well, you are fired up today, and that is apparent.
I'm fueled with disappointment.
You're
fair enough.
You're rocking the new Live Laugh La Bamba line that people can pick up over at nationgear.ca. Yeah, you should get geared up.
You've got probably the most coveted item of clothing in the nation at the moment.
People want this. I saw a lot of people tweeting when our social team was out in the mosh pit the other day.
Yeah, I gave mine to Payton so he can rock because we needed that representation, and I've got an order in for maybe more because I really love those.
Well, you said it's like it'd be a good idea if one of us wore it on every show. I was down here
100%.
But you guys didn't bring one.
But you were wearing.
So I'm the only one who has to wear.
I gave mine to the street team.
I know, but Tyler's like, oh, forgot mine conveniently. Unbelievable.
But who cares?
I think you get to wear the sick. But
I just.
Tyler's not a team player. That's what you're saying.
I haven't seen Tyler in his yet. That's all I'm saying.
I've worn it before.
Yeah. Maybe you should give it to someone who will wear it.
I will wear it. We don't need everyone wearing it.
Give it to Waz because Liam is clearly a devoted teammate.
I will wear it the first show back in Edmonton. Is that good enough?
No, I think I want Liam wearing it. It's not Liam's brand.
You guys are ridiculous. Okay, I want to get to what the people are saying over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Proudly Canadian owned and operated, and you can get a custom ring built and delivered in under 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece Program. Find out more about their financing options and more by visiting them online at charmdiamondcenters.com. All right, the chat fired up. Dave says Tyler's his own man. He won't conform. Absolutely. Patrick said he's got his Gagne jersey on. What are we rocking for? Oh, Liam's got an interest. He packed two jerseys.
I packed two as well.
So what did you pack? What did you pack?
My Ekholm.
Okay. Yeah.
And then my Rode Draisaitl.
Rode Draisaitl. I went with just one. BM and I are going to be Nuge Bros at the game. So I just got one
G in there.
Blue Nuge.
You're wearing your Penner?
Oh, that would have been way better to bring.
That would have been very funny.
So obviously I brought my Devin Shore jersey.
Yeah, of course.
But then I brought my other jersey that has a 9 and a 1 on it, Evander Kane.
Okay.
And Tyler's suggesting that might not be a good idea to wear in the arena.
Oh yeah, he is hated by Kings fans.
But when we went to Vegas last year, the Vegas fan base was very nice. They're like, hey, hope we have a great series.
Yeah, that's spicy. We'd love watching you guys.
LA fans are BM got a full beer thrown at his head.
No, you wear the Kane jersey.
Okay. I think I'm going to wear my Shore one tonight.
I would go Shore tonight and just test the waters a little bit. I worry about him. Like this fan base.
You don't think I can take it? An Englishman?
Yeah. He comes from hooligan football fandom.
I once got chased out of a football stadium onto a bus, Tyler. I think I could take a couple of Kings fans.
All right.
I can run back to my hotel fast enough.
And you know what? In game one, we're lower bowl.
Oh,
game two or upper.
So I'm definitely.
We're lower bowl than
I. But lower bowl is where Bag Milk took the beer to the head.
Oh, really?
Upper bowl, we just got told to shut up and fuck off a bunch.
And a bunch of other.
Love passion. It's okay. Yeah, no one gets hurt. We yell at each other. I defused the situation because I was wearing my Klim Kostin jersey and told him about his
meaty
stature.
Well, at least Klim wasn't wearing his Kostin jersey.
That was something. Calvin Picker, Tyler looks like he's wearing a Costco shirt. I'm wearing an Oilers Nation everyday shirt, Calvin. Thank you very much. Ryder is in with a little key to victory himself. He says, we need the first goal. That's when LA starts cheating in their coverages, pressing for offense. That's when our speed and skill can exploit the shit out of them.
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, their game plan is so structured that when they have to sway from it, it just exposes them so heavily.
No, you got to score first.
Jake is in and says, are you guys all sharing a hotel room? No comment. Boardsy says, it's nice to actually hear Jay's voice.
Oh, thank you, Boardsy.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to participate in this show.
Throw a beer at Will Ferrell from Calvin Pickard. Yeah, maybe we just respond.
I hope everyone's not watching Will Ferrell movies. I have boycotted a lot.
What?
Yeah, no Will Ferrell movies, no Will Ferrell and Friends movies.
Just during this window?
Just during
this series. Will Ferrell is a fantastic.
Oh, he's the best.
Brian is in and says, force them to take penalties. And you know what? That's a very interesting kind of pivot point for us. It's a Sherwood Ford Giant game day, so let's give our giant keys to victory. They are brought to you by Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, now officially open in Sherwood Park, and they got service for all makes and models of Power Sport and Marine. Bring your Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, your service troubles, need an inspection, a test run, some trailer TLC, or just a fresh oil change, which I actually do need on the truck.
I used the valet service on the oil change last week.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. It's adventure time, and they've got you covered for all makes and models of boats, motorcycles, and ATVs, so you'll be ready for the season. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. I think, Cal, I'm going to give two keys to victory. One is something the Oilers can control. One is something the Oilers cannot control. One, cut out the shoot yourself in the foot moments. That is one of my favorite keys to victory to give. But when we had Frank on after game one and the Oilers had that dominant, dominant performance, Frank said, these are like little tests for the Oilers. And it's, did you study during the last playoff runs, right? Mm. They control their own fate. When they are at their best, they are the best team in the NHL. They just slip up a lot. And I think game two, what we saw is them slip up a lot. So have they studied in years past? Do they know, all right, we cannot do that anymore? And have they learned their lesson? They need to avoid those shoot themselves in the foot moments. My second key to victory is, how are the refs going to call this hockey game? And as much as I hate being the guy who brings up the officiating, and I talked about this yesterday on the show, they got away with a lot more clutching and grabbing on 97 last game. They were holding them up against the boards. There was a point where McDavid looked at the ref and yelled, "Hey," because Arvidsson was just holding them there and wasn't letting them go anywhere. Yeah. If the refs decide to call it like they should and call it by the book, the Oilers will get 5 or 6 power plays tonight and the Oilers will win the hockey game. If the officials decide to act like they did last game and ignore too many men penalties and keep the whistles in their pockets because they're scared that it'll be viewed as them gifting the Oilers a win if they actually do their jobs and use the rule book, then the Oilers are going to be not in trouble, but the Oilers are going to... It's one thing that works against them the more this game is played at 5-on-5. Because their PK has been lights out as well.
Yeah.
So, those are my keys to victory. The officiating, and Maddie says it here, the refs need to actually call a good game. Kings will take shots at the Oilers, so much for the narrative that there are more penalties in the playoffs. Well, there still are. Like, the Oilers, again, 3 power plays in one game, I think 4 in the other one. So averaging 3.5 power plays a game is more than they do in the regular season. But again, there's way more infractions. The Oilers should be getting 4 or 5 power plays a game right now.
So I think I'm going to say the same thing, but just a little bit differently. Yeah, let's stop beating ourselves. Yeah. And we're doing that by just giving them the opportunity, like legitimately giving them the opportunity. So just stop doing that, because obviously you don't want to do that and you don't mean to do that. So just stop doing it. You're better than that. So let's stop beating ourselves. And then to push the power play agenda, speed and skating will result in more penalties called against us. So if we're moving our feet and we're attacking with speed, they won't have a choice but to take penalties. So let's force the issue. I know the 97 like conundrum is always going to be a conundrum. He's just so good. He's so fast. They interfere with him all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And, you know, we'll get 1 of 5 of those instances because they could legitimately call 12 penalties a game against 97. So that's a tough problem for them to solve. But if everyone else is moving their feet, you know, the Dylan Holloways, the Ryan McLeods, the Hymans, the Fogles, if they're buzzing around, working hard, they will draw penalties. Because those are the ones the refs have to call.
Yeah.
So if we can, you know, get four power plays tonight, 5 power plays tonight, and connect on 2 of those,
should win.
We should win.
Yep. Liam, key to victory?
My key to victory, I will go with the simple and most obvious answer. It will be Connor McDavid's line. It's in 2 games, one of them where they dominated, one of them where they didn't. The Oilers won the game they dominated.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say Connor McDavid finding
his... We should have won the game level. They didn't dominate, though.
Yeah. So maybe the key to victory is better defense, too. But I'll go with McDavid's line to show up early.
Yeah.
Early and often.
Dylan Holloway was exceptional in that game. And I mean, Jay, I'm interested to see what you thought of him in the building. He looks, and he has looked as the year has gone on, more and more confident with the puck on his stick.
Yes.
And that is, again, I did this whole rant yesterday. That's why you play him over the other options.
Like a confident Dylan, Holloway in the playoffs for us is such... It's such a benefit, right? Because it's all incremental.
Mm-hmm.
Like by him being like that, just immediately makes us much better. Because anyone who would replace him, if he was playing a similar level to them, because like when you're nervous and you don't have that confidence, that's the kind of game he would play. Mm-hmm. It had so much to the lineup. So it was so good to see that. I hope we can continue that confidence going into that. You know, I do want to call out, and I know there's some, you know, the penalties they took and stuff. Like, I like that third line.
I do too.
And they are getting in the mix. I know that they're not perfect, but they are getting in the mix. And at some point, they're going to start producing because they're creating mayhem in front of that net. Something's going to go in soon.
Yeah.
I may be betting on a Perry goal outside of my Betway betting challenge.
Ooh.
But I feel like they're doing enough things. So I'm excited about that as well.
I said last game, I think that was going to be Perry's breakout game, but I actually think it was Evander Kane's game.
Yep.
I thought he was really, really good. Like, not not as present in the physical game as maybe we thought we would have seen in the first two games, but
yeah, we've got the sports turn here, so he's probably gonna pick and choose his hits. But he did have a good one there behind the net.
He had the big hit behind the net, just creating a lot of chances. I thought that line was exceptional. And I love the way Ryan McLeod played too. There's one play in particular, it seemed like Kane and Perry were kind of slowing down a little bit, and then all of a sudden McLeod was just in there full speed and just had to puck. And I think it's when he had his wraparound or something like that. He had a really good game.
Yeah.
I agree with the Ryan McLeod thing. Circling back to something Gregor pointed out, Ryan McLeod's line out against whatever line Quinton Byfield's on has been a matchup that the Oilers have been very successful in. The goals are actually 1-0 for the Kings, but expected goals 74%, shots 10-4 in 12-42 at 5-on-5. So,
like, Byfield's been a bit of a problem, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. So again, if they're going
hit on McDavid,
if they're going Byfield, Kempe, Kopitar, I'm not sure if you can trust Kane and Perry to do the work defensively, which is the shame in all of that.
That's a heavy lift, though.
It is. So again, I think you're probably stuck with just going with one of the big guns. Like, I think you're going power on power and hoping the Oilers' depth can come through. Let's get into.
But now you can rely. Remember, depth scoring in the playoffs was kind of a foreign.
Yep. And they already got two goals, and shit, they could have had more if Cody Ceci would have.
Oh,
that was painful. I know they scored right after. They scored right up for it.
But
when you watch that replay, it's kind of like, it feels like you almost had to try to not score there.
Yeah. The others have goals from every line, but that third line.
It's almost as bad as Patrick Steffen.
Honestly,
it's almost as it's not.
And like,
but it's almost the net was just as open.
But also, it's not like he hit the post or just missed.
He missed by like two feet, far side wide.
Went into the corner.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah,
classic Cody Ceci. All right, I have some lineup notes, so I want to get to that with the lineup report brought to you by Service Credit Union. Only a couple of days, just days left in the Service Big Share contest. You don't want to miss out on your chance to win $1 million. Every $500 you save with Service gets you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest, whether it's saving in a TFSA, an RRSP, or just in a daily banking account. You can save and you can win. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required for rules. Visit service.ca/win. Gentlemen, it was interesting to look, and it's expected to be same lineup on both sides tonight. Mm-hmm. But the Kings are playing kind of shorthanded by choice. Did you see how many minutes Carl Grundstrom played? He's their 12th forward. Do you see how many he played last game?
No, I'm gonna say three.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
What's your guess? All strengths. 25 seconds.
Why?
He played one shift.
Did he get injured?
No. The Kings are just going 11-6. And they're putting Grundstrom on the bench because you got to play someone.
Well, play Arthur Kaliev.
That's kind of my point too. But yeah. So Carl Grundstrom, again, at all strengths, played 25 seconds last game. And the next closest King was 9:58, Blake Lizotte, Trevor Lewis, 10:36, right after that. And
How did the shift go?
There was one shot attempt.
That was enough.
The Kings got the shot attempt too. Oh. It was a positive. And they're like, that's enough of you.
Did he play a lot in game one?
That's a good question. I'd have to go back and check. But the Kings clearly don't trust him to do a heck of a lot. So they're expected to go with the same lineup, which again is going to feature 11-6, which does pose a bit of an interesting matchup thing, because based on who they're cycling through in the bottom of that lineup, it could mean, maybe a Kempe or a Byfield gets shifts against the Oilers' fourth line, which scares me a little bit. Not a lot, not as much as it would have maybe in years past, but it scares me a little bit heading into this game. Grundstrom in game one. Yeah, Grundstrom played a lot in game one.
Weird.
Yeah, he played 10:49, more than Lewis and more than Lizotte.
Maybe got hurt.
But again, from what I was reading in the quotes coming out of LA, it was like, no, he sat there and they are going with an 11 forward approach. I think they like the way it's throwing some curveballs at the Oilers or whatever. Grundstrom, yeah, big time. Big time. That's a very uncomfortable thing to be talking. Anyways, on the Oilers side of things, I think coming off a loss, you could make the case that they should make a lineup change maybe. And maybe you want to try to get a Connor Brown in the lineup for a game. But,
or in place of who?
I disagree.
Well, so that's the issue here, is who can you take out? Me, noted Jan-Mark Hayter, starting to become a Janmark lover. I thought he was excellent in game two.
Great.
Two assists, yeah. could have had a third on CeCe. Yeah. Like, Janmark was really, really good. I like the fact that you have, you know, I call him a high floor player, low ceiling, high floor kind of guy. Dylan Holloway is a high ceiling player. That's a duo that I think actually kind of balances each other out nicely on the fourth line. I thought Sam Carrick had a really, really rough game two. He had a bad turnover in the neutral zone. He had a bad turnover right along the bench. I think it was in the second period. There was a point where the Oilers were trying to get the puck out of their zone, and he was just standing in no man's land in the D zone. And I was just kind of like, what is this guy doing right now? Carrick drove me nuts. Guys are allowed to have bad games. He's the one guy who I think if you took him out, it'd be justified. But then what do you do? Mm-hmm. Do you play Holloway at center? Do you play Janmark at center, which he has a little bit of experience doing? But if you do that in the name of getting Connor Brown in the lineup, then what happens when you throw that line out there for a faceoff and the Kings go, Kempe, Byfield, Kopitar, go? Are you worried about Kopitar just manhandling Dylan Holloway down the middle? So I think, unfortunately, on the road, there's no spot to get Connor Brown Carrick in right now. Up. Better. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in a tilt tonight.
Yeah, a bit of physicality.
Yes, I would love that.
Only one fight in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far.
Yeah, kind of weird, eh?
Yeah, it was in the Islanders-Carolina game. Game two, I think. But yeah, interesting. I wouldn't make a lineup change tonight for the pure reason of your only option is Carrick for Derek Ryan. And Derek Ryan, we all love him, but boy oh boy does that guy get beat up.
He gets rocked.
So,
and there's a lot of meat. There's some meat on LA's.
Yep.
And you keep roster. You know, you have Carrick who brings that meat for the Oilers.
Yeah, just need a better game from Carrick. Need a better game from Carrick. Not a key to victory, but well, it could be.
It's in there. It's on the list somewhere. So yeah, Oilers going with the same lineup. I think that's totally understandable. Kings going with the same lineup. I think that's totally understandable. I think something will give based on who loses game three. I think we'll see a different lineup in game four in some way. But again, same lineup. No complaints. Just because it's a little bit too hard to get Connor Brown in here. The penalty box is in and says, Tyler, are you guys going to the game tonight or Sunday? I live in South Orange County. We're going to both games, and tonight we are going to be at First Draft in downtown LA.
Pull up the address.
Yes.
It's something Olive Street or something.
Right here. 1250 South Olive Street, Los Angeles, California.
It's only a couple blocks away from Crypto.
Yeah. So
come and join us. Let's make this official.
Can we walk that or do we have to cab it?
We'll walk.
We can walk that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I was just looking.
We're like one block away from the rink on this side, and it's two blocks away.
But there's freeways and stuff like
there's
that.
There's a freeway. No. There is freeways in LA. Yes. So but there's not a rink and then a freeway and then a bar.
Freeway's pretty close to the rink.
So 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
So we will be there at 4 p.m.
We'll be there a little bit earlier setting up, but yes.
Okay. Cool. Good to know.
We have to be there before four.
Great boy band before four.
Really? From your youth?
I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Check them out. I think they had that funny. I think they're two brothers and they had like hilarious spiky. They're the original Island Boys, actually. That might be a good that might be a good pull.
Did they
bring up before four? Let's see.
Before four.
Before
Ryan four. Isn't the freeway right by the rink? Yeah, it is.
But not to, anyways, there's always a freeway near you in California.
That one?
No.
Oh.
Get this.
Oh, it's a European dance band, B4.
No, it's B4.
B4.
Four.
Oh, band. The numbers.
Yeah. Isn't that the original Island Boys?
Especially that picture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those are twins.
That's an interesting crew.
And that's their friend.
Do they kiss? Island Boys kiss.
Before four.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Maybe that could be us on the next show.
They are the Island Boys. Oh my God. Deflect.net. I have free shirts to give away. Let me know if you'll be there or at the game. We'll be at the bar. What kind of shirts? Now I'm confused. Shouldn't have read that one without pre-reading it. All right. Let's keep cruising along with today's edition of the show. We've done the lineup report. We can check that one off. Ooh, I really wanted to play this. We're doing a special Sounds of the Oil. And I think this one's it's brought to you by our friends over at Duraguard. Duraguard Fence Limited. Whatever your fence needs. You know our friends at Duraguard got you. Their fences can protect you the way we need the Oilers to get up and protect the lead tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, right? If you want more information or if you want to request a quote, go to DurGuardFence.ca. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solution. Our sounds of the oil for today, I want to take a listen in credit to Oilers Plus, who shared this one. But Connor McDavid in the Oilers locker room the other day, the Oilers shared this clip, and I thought it was good.
This year's taught us anything. It's that when we stick together like brothers, and we work together, and we stick with it, we can do anything. Right? We brought it ourselves from the dead this year. That's a credit to everybody in this room.
We brought ourselves back from the effing dead this year. And then he said, we're brothers. That's got to get you fired up.
I've got goosebumps.
I do a little bit.
He's holding the painter's hat, which is a little bit
dumb but as shit.
You know what? If it's working, we should launch a painting hat.
That would be a good shirt idea.
What do they call those?
Painter's hat.
The painter and the plumber?
Isn't it?
Oh, it's a beret.
A beret, yes. We.
Anyways, I love this. Connor nice and fired up in the room. That is good stuff. And hopefully Connor McDavid is fired up on the ice tonight.
That was.
Subscribe to Oilers Plus so you can get that fantastic content. That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, the inside the locker room stuff is cool. You get a little glimpse of what the players' personalities are about. There was that other video where McDavid and Draisaitl wheeled out a birthday cake for Nuge. That was a cool one. But then the one I really liked that came out recently was when Corey Perry was going through the door. And he like touches all the sides of the door, and then one of the trainers behind him went to do it, but couldn't reach the top of the door.
Mm.
So he's just like shimmying around. That was quite funny. There's some good ones.
Oh, there we got a troll in the comments.
A troll?
Yeah.
King Who fan? Is it?
His name was Brad A. He said, can't believe you guys had 5 first overall picks and you're still going to lose to the Kings in round 1.
So 5?
His trolling's a bit out of date.
We only had 4. Right? Nuge, Yak,
Hall, Connor,
McDavid.
Yeah, you're right.
Suck it, Brad.
And we actually only won 3 of those lotteries. So think about that, Brad. Anyways, he's banned. Bye-bye.
Last year, we had a lot of Kings fans come in after games and stuff. But the one I'll always remember, because he just stuck around for the whole series, was I think his name was Angel or Angel or something.
Oh, like yeah.
And he just literally would come in every single show. Post-game, pre-game.
Love it. Hey, show, that's all good.
Here for the conversation.
Yeah, right? It was good.
So if you're here, Brad King.
What else do we got going on over in the chat? Yeah, the David Wilson guy's gone too, everybody. Don't worry about that. All right, so we did the lineup report. We did our giant question of would you make lineup changes for tonight. We did our sounds of the oil as well. We're going to be joined by our pal Zach Lang in a little bit. He's going to give us his take on a number of things and all the big storylines heading into tonight's game. But let's get to the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge, gentlemen. Let's talk about where we're putting our money for tonight's hockey game. It is brought to you by our friends at Betway, where right now you can get a bonus bet of up to $200 if your first bet loses. It is very easy. You just place a bet, no minimum amount required, and if the bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can take that money to keep betting on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. How do you sign up? All you got to do is scan the QR code that is on your screen right now. Gentlemen, I think we were all losers last game in the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. You had an Ekholm goal. Liam and I both went puck line. Fell flat.
No, we didn't. We went McDavid point and Oilers win.
Oh, yeah, we did, because it was juicier than the puck
line. 145.
Yeah, plus 145. Anyways,
close.
We both missed. We all missed. So tonight, what do we like? Jay, you want to go first?
Yeah, I just think tonight is a statement game. In the sense of, you know, we'll do our thing offensively, but it's what we do against LA defensively. So for me, this just screams puck line. So this is a 3-1, 4-1, 4-2 type game.
Yeah, I went with, me and BM went with this one, I should say. We went with over 33 shots for the Oilers.
Ooh.
Minus 110.
I like those bets.
Who are you, Tyler Yaremchuk?
Those bets.
I'm playing the long game again. I'm here to win. And I'm still currently.
But it's playoffs, baby.
I know. But
who cares if, like, no?
You're not going to allow that one?
Well, you can do whatever you want. I just don't have to agree with it.
That is true. So, right now, because I was trying to get things set up and I forgot to put the board in drive.
Ah, a break for us.
Jay's at even money. You're just back at 0.
Not bad.
Up a unit down.
You're down 2.
Ah, sometimes I do be that way.
0.5.
All right.
So I'm winning.
So we my pick tonight is a Connor McDavid goal and Oilers money line played together over like on
it.
Betway.
I like it.
It's coming in at plus 185. So not the juiciest thing in the world, but I think 97 is due for a goal. And I'm just going to keep on betting on it until he eventually scores.
Yeah, I think Connor's going to want it. Man, that pass he made to Dry last game.
If Bobrovsky didn't make the save he did in that Florida series, that Talbot save would have been like the save of the playoffs so far.
Oh,
the whole sequence of it was incredible.
Oh,
and then he was the one who robbed him.
Oh my God, it was so good. Those two are just so good. That was sick.
Draisaitl, it
should have been a goal, but that was sick.
Yeah.
He had what?
8 shots.
Draisaitl shot prop, interesting. I think the Evander Kane shot prop, it was 2.5 and even money last game.
Oh.
I hammered that. If it's 2.5 and even money again, I'm hammering that, even if it's -110.
Yeah, if you want to follow me in the secondary market, which is not this challenge, what else I'm doing is I bet on a Draisaitl goal and I bet on a Corey Perry goal.
Yeah. Bart says he's betting on a Holloway goal. Eric says,
I like Fogo goal.
Recency bias.
Tonight.
Yeah. Tony is in.
Henry is also dad? Another guy.
Yeah, he wants to know how much the odds are on a Kulak Hattie. Probably not.
They don't give those out.
Plus,
Mr. Burns 4-1. Perry the Platypus gets one. Someone else predicted 5-1 with a Perry goal as well. Sean says 5-2 Oilers. Oilers in 5. Easy money. Loyal to the Oil says 5-2 Oil. Stu will be solid.
Mm-hmm.
Scott says they're going to blow them out 7-2 and win the series in 5. So there still is a lot of optimism right now in the fan base, which is good. I think that comes a little bit with, and I get that the raw emotions, like After Dark with Aaron the other day, had some people fired up. I know BM was in the chat too, saying like, hey, and BM's going to join us on the show later on tonight as well. But BM was in the mid, like, come on, is this your first time going through the playoffs? Like, I feel like now that we've been through a couple of runs, it's easier to sit there and be like, okay, they just lost one game. Like against Calgary, right? Down 1-0, boom, rattle off 4 straight wins. This team has it in them to go beat the Kings 3 straight nights. Obviously, it starts tonight, and you can't put the cart before the horse or anything like that.
And I feel like there was a bit of that in game 2. They showed that. So I think there's enough experience in this team for them to call themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm just expecting that just statement performance.
Yeah. What else do we got going on?
We're getting close to the light goal, but we're not quite there yet.
Keep hammering that light button. Waz is in, says, hey guys, Waz here from Edmonton, big fan of the show.
Come
thank
our Waz.
Yeah, that's just Waz.
Thanks, Waz.
Waz being a little ridiculous.
Patrick Waz there. Doing great work on the street team, by the way. So check him out. Work. He's engaging with everyone in and around.
Davo says the Oilers lack the killer instinct needed to make anything a quick series. I think I disagree with
that.
They
did on game 2. I agree that in game 2 that was the mentality they showed.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that.
But if they get that, which we know they have it, like I said, this is still a five game series, very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Jump in on that.
Boston Pizza, your spot to watch the playoffs. Lots of stuff going on outside of this Edmonton LA series. There are still 4 series that could technically end in a sweep. You have the ones that are right there and close in Carolina up 3-0 on your New York Islanders, Liam. Tough break.
That really is not a good luck for me.
No.
A bold, bold take.
It was. Yep.
The other one, Florida up 3-0 on Tampa. Hey, I picked Tampa to win that series as well. And then you have Vegas could technically still sweep Dallas. They're up 2-0, which is
that
insanity.
Is wild.
Straight up insanity.
Wild.
And then
that's actually a good thing for us.
Yeah.
Because we don't match up well against Dallas.
Yeah.
So if they can take Dallas down, great.
And then the other one, the Rangers are up 2-0 on the Capitals. Of those 4, how many will end in sweeps? Which ones you got any in sweeps?
How many are there?
See, it's 4. There's Rangers, Caps are 2-0. Golden Knights are up 2-0 on.
There'll be 2 sweeps. Carolina and Rangers will be sweeps.
I'll say 1. I just think Washington. I think the Islanders will win 1 game and then 4.
Was Oshie out now?
I'm not sure.
Oshie's out. They're done.
I'm going to say 2. Yeah. I'm actually going to agree with you. I think the Islanders are cooked. Put a fork in them.
Yeah, they Carolina's broken their will.
Yeah.
Like there's 2 games where they thought they were winning and just taken away.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say those 2. I'm going to say the Rangers as well. I think they're just too much for the Caps to handle. Like Charlie Lindgren's got to play like damn near perfect for them to have a shot.
And that's just asking a lot.
Well, and it's a new version of perfect. He's at like a high level of perfect.
Yeah.
Like perfect meaning he has to stop every shot he faces.
More or
less. Yeah, that is the only chance that he has.
Yeah. That's what else is going on. The Canucks down in Nashville, that series is 1-1 right now. And Thatcher Demko, there are some whispers from around corners of the internet that it's not just questionable for the rest of the series. It's Thatcher Demko might be questionable for the rest of the playoffs.
Uh-oh.
So it's funny to watch Canucks fans being like, oh, well, Nashville's just blocking all the shots. I'm like, well, this is playoff hockey, folks.
Welcome
and
back.
This is the stuff. If you're not doing it and the other team is, you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So kudos to Nashville. Obviously, like a bit of a like very watered down David Goliath versus Goliath situation. But if you've got a team that's committed, this is like Oilers in 06. Remember, like you'd see all those practices with Mac T doing block shot drills with everyone. Like that detail matters and goes a long way if you're willing to stay consistent with it. So Nashville's going to be a problem. They're not an easy out for Vancouver. So,
yeah, Calvin Pickard says it's crazy. Nashville plays defensive hockey and their defense is not bad. I think to go on the block shot thing, like as much as Canucks fans hit there, oh my God, all Nashville's doing is blocking shots. You get pucks through. There's an idea.
You're a highly skilled offensive hockey
team. Elias Pettersson and JT Miller have both had goose eggs in the shot column at some point in the first two games.
Yeah, like that's your own fault then.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it's funny, isn't it? Like Nashville in the summer got all these guys in and we were like, what are they doing? Like, why did you sign Luke Shen? Why did you sign Ryan O'Reilly? And it's basically for this.
Yeah.
You know, like to get into the playoffs and then you have that core leadership group that can kind of push you over the line.
And McDonough.
McDonough. Yeah, McDonough's a great one. A
lot of cups.
And then just also having like Yossi still there, Forsberg, the Soros, and then Nyquist has been a great addition to that team. He's had a great season. So I'm
playing on the top line.
Yeah, maybe Uncle Ken was onto something when we were in the mix on him.
This was our hashtag ask DFO question on Daily Faceoff Live with myself and Frank this morning. And it was, do you think the Nashville Predators, considering they're back to being a playoff team, do you think they regret the Matias Ekholm trade?
No. Because you want to have O'Reilly and I think Ekholm's great, but like
why wouldn't you have O'Reilly?
Because you would have $6 million of Ekholm, so I guess
But there was the $4.5 million of Barry that's on the books, right? Like,
yeah,
that.
I suppose, yeah.
You could say maybe they wouldn't have been able to afford Shen.
I don't think they would. They do.
I don't think so either, because they're not.
Were they in the cap? They probably have cap space.
I think they have a little, but they're not a team that's like in their cup window, right? Barry Trotz said they want to go through sort of this little retooling period that they that they have going.
But
on.
Would they be better if Ekholm was still there? Absolutely.
Yeah, but like. Is Ekholm a piece that makes them a cup contender? No. Like, they're a cup contender regardless of if... Or they're not a cup contender. Doesn't matter if they have Ekholm or not. So getting the picks, like, they're in this retool period where they need to try find some higher-end offensive pieces and set themselves up for the future. They got in the playoffs this year. Some would say, you know, that heater. And you can't really do this because, again, then people could say, well, the Oilers with their 16-game heater. But, like, Nashville needed a historic heater to get themselves into a wild card spot. I don't think they regret it.
I don't think they regret it.
I actually think it's one of those.
Like, but what I'm saying, would they be better if they have Ekholm? Yes.
I think it's one of those rare situations, though, where it's a true win-win.
Yeah.
Did they use that first round pick already, or is it this year?
They used it because it was enough pick last year.
That's right.
Correct.
I wonder who they took. Tanner Mullendijk. He's a pretty good player, actually.
I like how you just needed a second to compute it, and then you remembered.
That was their first round pick last year. I mean, look.
Waz has a question. What would have to happen to see Sam Gagner or Derek Ryan be in the lineup? Multiple injuries?
Yeah.
Sadly, knock on wood that we never have to see that.
Sorry, but, Waz.
Waz,
I saw 2 DR10 jerseys at game one, and none of them were you. So there's
other people disappointed.
You actually shouldn't like Tanner Mullendijk right now. He's a Saskatoon Blade. And the Warriors are going head-to-head with them.
Furkus Circus. The Eastern Conference Finals start tonight?
Tonight,
yeah. That's gonna be a good match. They match up well against each other. They're 3-3 against each other. So
it'd be a good series.
I like this series for many reasons.
Ryder says Blades in 4, buddy.
Blades in 4, please.
Want to bet that?
I think the Warriors will win. I think that team is so much better.
Denton Mateychuk is playing out of this world. Furkus Circus, insane. Carter Savoy. There's just
Matt Savoy.
Sorry, Matt Savoy.
Palmer Crusader.
There is there's a lot of firepower. Jaeger.
Raven Jaeger,
yeah. It's legit. So.
Okay, deflect.net said, please put out the name and address of the bar. Aaron, can we flash up the board one more time? First draft, downtown LA. The address is 1230 South Olive Street, Los Angeles. We're going to be there at 4 o'clock. We got a pregame show getting going live from the bar at 5:30 as well. So join us if you are down in LA.
And if you forget that, just go to any of our social channels and it's there. Any of us, any of the Oilers Nation.
Yeah, we'll keep pushing it. We want to try to get as many people there as possible.
Yep, absolutely. We got a couple of questions. You know, what if Skinner continues to stumble? I'm honestly very confident we're going to get a good Stuart Skinner performance tonight. I'm not really worried at all. Like, again, last year, it got to the point where every game I was kind of like, oh, God. And we were talking on the show last year, like, why are they not starting Jack Campbell for one of these games? Yeah. I'm not even close to being at the point where I want Pickard starting.
No, and like Skinner's shown this year to a level of maturity of like being able to bounce back the next game. You know, he's done really well in that regard. And even if in his post game, he's like pretty calm about everything. He's like,
yeah, you need to be.
We'll bounce back. He's like, I'm not worried.
At that position, like, we'll you fine. Need to be. So yeah, I'm happy to see that. Because if he's not, then do not put him in the pipes.
I could never, like, being in that headspace of just being so calm after what happened is just like crazy. Like a good mentality, but like I couldn't imagine myself kind of getting there. It's so like, interesting.
Good question from the chat. Bring Cassian home. We didn't talk about this yesterday on the show because I pre-taped the interview with Gazdick. But Bob Cole passed away yesterday at the age of 90. He wanted to know your favorite Bob Cole call. For me, like, I mean, Liam and I
never really
06. Yeah. 06 cup run. That almost knocked us over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Would have been the face reveal of bag milk like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, just Bob Cole in 06, man.
Yeah.
He called a lot of crazy, awesome goal games.
The Pisani goal.
And these are all just, you know, really insane memories
we were talking
I'm
about
still holding on to.
Or was it me and BM talking about the call on the Marchand winner?
Oh, yeah. I was a teenager for that. I was at a buddy's basement for that goal. And yeah, his call, we were just jumping up and down. He had a low ceiling in the basement, so we almost broke our necks. But
he also called the first Oilers Stanley Cup.
Really?
That would have been him.
That makes sense, yeah. I never experienced him that much, obviously. But
what a voice.
Just his legacy is incredible. Like a lot of our friends, Tyler, we went to school with, I remember. One of them, like Bob Cole, was his like inspiration to like become a play-by-play guy, and it's just inspired so many people to get into that position. And yeah, like just sad that
it's gone. It's such a skill to be able to frame moments.
Oh yeah,
and he's done it. Like every fan base across Canada will have a connection to Bob Cole because their team would have played on in the playoffs or on a Saturday night, and he's framed some magical moment for each fan base across the country and did it in such a beautiful way. And that voice, like, you'll never forget the sound of his voice.
Yeah. Someone asked, was it the golden goal him? No, that was Chris Cuthbert, but he was on the call for the 02 gold medal for Canada, the one that ended the long Olympic drought for the country. That was him.
Yeah. And that one was mad. Like the Paul Kariya goal was magical, right? Because you letting the puck go through his feet. Go over to Korea and then boom.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's get out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about them by visiting them online at starmechanical.ca. They've been serving the Edmonton community for more than 20 years, whether it's residential, commercial, or 24/7 emergency service. Star Mechanical has got you covered. Zach Lang from OilersNation.com swing by. You rocking, Zach, you rocking a Bears jersey?
Yeah, man. Old Brian Urlacher jersey from when I was a kid. I haven't updated the jersey selection for a long time, but I think a new Caleb Williams jersey is going to be coming in the mail here pretty soon.
Well, you probably not have a chance to update it because the Bears have just had no good players since Brian Urlacher. So,
well, yeah, that's exactly it. So it's been a long time. It's been a struggle bus being a Bears fan for sure, but feeling pretty good after last night, not going to lie.
Waz says Bears are gross, which is hilarious considering Waz did not know the NFL existed up until about 8-9 months ago.
Does he have a team?
Waz cheered for literally 14 teams last season.
Yeah, Waz cheered for like 5 teams last season, Jay. So he's a little all over the place here.
I also think there's a chance Waz is just saying like the animal Bears are gross.
Well, I wouldn't
put that past Waz.
How dare you? That's one of the more majestic creatures on this planet. You ever seen a grizzly bear run? It is poetic and fast.
That one the other day, the grizzly bear running at the truck. Did you guys see
that
one?
Yeah, that was spooky. Crazy.
Yeah.
I saw a grizzly bear last summer. No, I saw a black bear. Never mind.
Still, that doesn't diminish that. Black bears are cool too.
Yeah.
But grizzlies are.
Yeah, they're big. Anyways, Zach, have you ever seen a grizzly bear in person? You lived out in Canmore for a bit.
Yeah, I did. I spent some time in Banff, Canmore doing an internship there a couple of years ago. I did see some bears out there and I saw them from like the side of the highway, which was still far too close for me. Those things scare the hell out of me. So,
yeah. All right. You would be concerned if you ran into a bear in the wild. I want to talk about your concern level with the Oilers goaltender, Stuart Skinner. Where are you at on like a scale of 1 to 10 after game 2?
Maybe a 5 right now. I mean, I think you got to take a look at the other goaltending going on around the NHL right now in the playoffs. The save percentages are very, very low right now. There's been a lot of scoring in the playoffs and there's been a lot of scoring in this series. I think of all of the goals that Skinner has allowed, maybe there was only 3 of them, maybe 4 through the first 2 games that were true clean goals and ones that he maybe could have gotten a piece of. Like how many of these goals that Skinner's let in have been off of weird deflections or weird bounces or weird things happening, you know, broken sticks or off 2 sticks and in or off a couple of skates. It's kind of been a weird start to the series. So I'm expecting a big game from Skinner tonight. I think this is the opportune time for him to rebound with a big one for the Oilers, but the Oilers can also, you know, give him some more help in the defensive zone too. I think the Oilers defensive structure has been a little bit sloppy here and it's kind of led to some of these goals against.
Yeah. I think we talked about that too. Like the Oilers score last game, Kulak makes it 2-1. And then immediately Drew Doughty somehow gets a breakaway, right? And it's a poor pinch. It's a poor pinch from Kulak, and Desharnais plays too aggressive on the far side of the ice and all that stuff. Outside of Skinner, who are you maybe looking at to have a better performance in this game? And maybe not even like just a pure bounce back from game 2, but is there anyone who you feel like the Oilers haven't been getting enough from through 2 games?
I think Warren Fogle could step up a bit on the second line. I mean, he had a great regular season and we haven't really seen regular season career year Warren Fogle in the playoffs yet. He's got some shots away. He's got a couple of chances here and there, but I think he's a guy who can kind of elevate his game on that second line right now. You know, I think what's really good to see is that fourth line and how good they played in that second game. They were playing a lot of minutes and they were playing some tough minutes too, some tougher matchups as well. There's a lot of trust that's been put into that fourth line. And, you know, we're looking like we're going to have the same lineup that we've had in games 1 and 2, but I wonder how long that's really going to last. I mean, you take a look at the play of Dylan Holloway from game 2 and what he did in the regular season since he's been called up. you know, if Warren Fogel starts to struggle here in early in game three, I wonder if they look to maybe swap things up a little bit and elevate Holloway up the lineup. He did get a shift or two with McDavid and Hyman in game two as well after his big goals. So that's something that I'm definitely going to be kind of keeping an eye on for tonight. Well,
and he played 2.5 minutes with Leon Draisaitl at 5-on-5, and Draisaitl was on the ice when Holloway scored his second of the game. So I would be intrigued by that. One guy who I've been a little disappointed in through six periods, I guess 6.5, you count overtime, is Corey Perry. And I wonder if maybe, could you flip Evander Kane to the right side and run McLeod, Holloway, Kane as a third line to give him a few more offensive looks there? Or maybe you reunite Fogel and McLeod on the third line with Kane. I think that's a trio that maybe could work together, and maybe you give Holloway more minutes. But I also don't hate the approach that Knobloch had of just sprinkling Holloway in there with Draisaitl a little bit. I didn't think that was bad either.
Yep.
So we'll see. Would you have made a lineup change tonight? Would you have found a way to get Connor Brown in? Like, I think it's tough when you look at how Holloway and Janmark played, but would you have been itching for a move?
Probably not in terms of Connor Brown. I think, you know, the group that they have is probably the group they have and they're going to roll with here through the playoffs. Like, I really liked Connor Brown's game in the regular season, but I think it's hard to argue with Holloway being in on that fourth line instead of him. Like, Holloway just has so much more juice in his game right now than Connor Brown does. And, you know, two goals from the fourth line, like, that is huge production, right? Like, I think the Oilers would have been happy if they could have gotten two goals in an entire 7-game series from their fourth line, you know, let alone in a single game. Now, it would have been great if those two goals came in a winning effort, but at the end of the day, Holloway helped push that game to overtime. He was a difference maker in that game for the Oilers, and they need difference makers in their lineup. And that's where I kind of see Holloway over Brown making sense right now. You know, I think Brown and Janmark are kind of the exact same players. So if you know, you're wanting Connor Brown in, maybe Matthias Janmark is the guy who comes out of the lineup. But then again, like you said, Tyler, there seems to be a little bit of chemistry with Holloway and Janmark and Carrick right now. So do you really want to bust that up? I mean, I guess that's where the big question comes into play, right?
I would say Janmark's a better puck carrier than Brown.
I think he carries with a bit more speed.
Like the play doesn't die. Brown, it's fine. Like when he's carrying the mail, kind of mail doesn't get to its destination. You know what I'm saying?
He's not a delivery man.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Feeling?
You know what I'm saying? Where did I want to? Oh,
I got one.
Oh, yep. Sure.
How would you counter the Kings' top line with Kempe, Kopitar, and Byfield? Obviously, that was the line that basically won them the game last time around. You know, so how would you think the Oilers should line up against them?
I think do a lot more of what they did in game one. I think that's kind of the biggest thing, right? It felt like in game two, the Oilers kind of got away from their game. They didn't seem to have the juice and the jump that they did in game one. And especially like in the neutral zone and the transition game, the Oilers were really, really attacking the Kings puck carriers hard. And it didn't really feel like that was the case through really the first period and a half of game two. And then all of a sudden, you know, after Holloway's first goal in the second there, it just all of a sudden seemed to kind of wake everybody up a little bit, and the Oilers were playing more of their game. I think, you know, for the Oilers, they really just have to, and it sounds so cliche, but I really think the Oilers need to focus on their own game tonight and not play into the Kings' style of game, because that's what it felt like happened in that second game the other day. So I think the way you kind of counter that Kopitar Kempe line is just being really hard on the puck carriers. I think that's the thing that you have to do, is you have to surround these guys and choke them off of the puck. And they're a talented line. They're going to score. Like, Adrian Kempe is probably their best goal scorer that they have. He's been a thorn in the side of the Oilers the last couple of years, scoring some big goals in the playoffs for the Kings. So that's kind of the way that I think that the Oilers kind of need to approach this game, is just getting back to what they were doing in game one and playing their own style of game and dictating the play through that.
Any series outside of this one you've been paying extra close attention to?
I've been watching all of them, actually. I've kept an eye on pretty much every series. I love the Winnipeg-Colorado one right now. That thing is just, that game, that series is absolutely going crazy right now. So I'm fascinated to see what happens there. Fascinated to see if Dallas is going to be able to bounce back against Vegas here too. I've been impressed with the way Vegas has played early on in that series, but that's a really good Stars team. So I'm expecting some punch back from them. Out East, I mean, the Islanders, the Capitals, they're pretty much dead in the water right now. Toronto, Boston tomorrow night. I mean, that game is going to be a ton of fun to watch. Excited to see what happens in that series too.
What do you go with Swayman tomorrow if you're Boston?
Yeah, I think you go with Swayman tomorrow for sure, especially after the whole Max Domi bump incident too in game three there. I wrote something for the Leafs Nation yesterday. The head coaches from both sides were kind of taking little barbs at each other about what was going on with that. So got to see Patty Maroon pretty fired up on the ice after it too. So that series is really starting to heat up right now.
Yeah. Liam was hilariously wrong on the Islanders. I was hilariously wrong on the Lightning. Has there been one series that you just totally missed on?
The Lightning one too. I thought that was going to be a lot closer than it has been. I mean, I'm kind of waiting for Tampa to like win a game and play a really strong one. But I mean, credit where it's due. That's one hell of a Florida team over there, man. Like they're an absolute wagon, and it still feels like they're underappreciated, if that makes sense. Like it still feels like, you know, everybody just expects Florida to kind of fizzle out at some point, but they're showing time and time again that they are legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. So I don't know, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I could very easily see that just ending in a sweep. I mean, it's 3-0 right now. I would love to see Tampa fight back, but hey, you know what, again, that's a deep Florida team over there.
8:30 p.m. broadcast start tonight between the Oilers and Kings in the Mountain Time Zone. So Zach, get your pregame nap in and enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. I'll also be enjoying a pregame cup of coffee because God knows we're going to need it tonight.
Smart man. Smart man. There you go. Zach Lang on the Star Mechanical guest line. Mike is in and says, Zach, you are incredibly well-spoken. Always enjoy listening to you. You know who else is a fan of Zach Lang? Last time we had him on, my mom said, who is that guy and why don't you have him on more? And I was like, all right, noted.
We'll He's
have
so Zach, insightful.
We'll have Zach on every week. He's going to be one half of The Notebook with Coombsy.
Yeah. And just with his responses, just reinforced and brought a lot of calm to the whole situation, right?
Because a lot of zen.
Got a zen? That's for after the show, folks.
did you call him before? Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe. Jay is the president of Zimbabwe.
Only on the road.
people asking what time puck drop's actually going to be tonight.
8:52.
Probably
who knows? 52. Who knows?
Just get a pregame nap in.
Yeah.
Like even if it's a 7 p.m. nap.
Yeah. For us, after this show, let's update the people on what we got going on. We're going to be live once again at 5:30. We're going to be in downtown L.A. out at the First Draft Bar. So if you're in L.A., swing by, join us. We got that going on.
Choose your own adventure draft beer wall.
Make swamp water.
Liam's buying.
Biz on me.
We'll be there at 4. Come hang out with us. We're going to do a live show. Good chance that maybe, you know, if you're there, maybe we got some things to give away. I know I brought some stickers.
Ooh, nice.
They're somewhere. I brought them.
Liam's giving out high fives.
Liam's and beers.
And beers.
And Lewis stickers. Fives. Because Liam forgot stickers, he has so much guilt. He's buying beers instead.
Oh, man. It is a midnight start out in Newfoundland for our friend Newfie Sniper, Mainlander Tim.
Yeah. Oh, midnight. What about the Germans? Germans, it's probably 5 a.m.
That's actually not bad.
That's
for them,
probably better for them. Yeah.
That's good.
Germany,
that's good
for might even be like 6.
They'd be 9 hours.
Yeah.
So 9 hours from 7:30.
Mm-hmm. Well, 5 hours is 12.
Well, 9 hours from 8 o'clock, I guess. So 4 or 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Yep.
We're getting some bag milk chuckles from behind the what do you want to call this screen? The Nation Wall. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah, the Nation Wall. BM's going to be joining us at 5:30 tonight as well with a double pregame show. And then we're going to be throwing it up to Edmonton to our party headquarters in YEG. Everyone's out at Greta tonight. AB's going to be there doing a live pre and post game show. All the usual casting characters will be there partying along at Greta. So you can come down, watch the game with us. It is a great spot pregame. It is a great spot postgame. It is a great spot for the game. Their TV setup is elite, and I'm sure they'll be doing all the usual things that make Greta such a fun spot for a watch.
They are a great partner. They really like to activate the in-game stuff. It's fun. Come join us.
And again, Aaron's going to be going live pregame with Boardsy for the 1 hour leading you up to puck drop. So we go from what would be Mountain Time, 6:30 to 7:30. And then Boardsy comes on 7:30 to 8:30. And then boom, you're ready to go for puck drop.
And then at 2 a.m., you get to go to bed.
Yep. That'll be nice, actually. Yeah.
Cody is in. No ONR today, right? No, we're going to be dropping Oilers Nation Radio tomorrow. So you can look for that. It'll be like a full game three recap.
It's going to be a waking pod.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we're doing exactly what we did today. Regularly scheduled ON every day. Probably just going to go for an hour Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay. And
Sunday,
then
Sunday.
And then again, leading you up to Puck Drop, we'll do the double pregame show on Sunday. It's playoff mode. Giddy up. Fighting Amr says, say hi to Snoop Dogg for us, Liam.
Yeah, no problem.
He might be at the game tonight.
I'll say hello. What up, Snoop?
You'll like your hoodie.
Big dog.
Call him Unk.
Yeah, he probably will. I bet he would notice it.
I bet he would too. All right. That is
Bizzle Pizzle.
We got another full hour of game day coverage coming to you a little bit later on in the day. So that is going to be a wrap on this Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the program. Big shout out to everyone over in the YouTube chat. Appreciate you popping in. Hammer. Oh, what did we get for likes?
I don't know.
I'll check.
Probably got there. We were at 84 last time I checked.
I don't know where
there you go. 115.
There we go. Good work, everybody.
People watching. Leave a like on your way out the door.
All right.
And subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we just hit 22K.
Oh, we did. Congrats,
other day, I was at the game one, and I was going to the washroom and standing in line for the washroom, and then a couple people just walking by were like, hey, I watched the show, Oilers Nation guy, what up? I'm like, hey, what's up? And there was an older gentleman in front of me, and he was like, are you some sort of YouTuber? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I am. I was like, I do an Oilers show on YouTube. And he goes, wow, well, you know, keep with it, hey? I was like, all right, thank you, old man. I will keep with it.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
One day you'll get some.
Never give up. That's basically what he said. He was like, you know, there's a lot of people trying that, but like, keep it up. And I was like, okie dokie. And then he asked how many subscribers we had. And I said, I think it's just over 20,000 now. And then he was kind of like, oh, you guys are pretty big. I was like, yeah, it's a thing. It's Oilers Nation. That was a fun interaction.
One gentleman in the chat, Tyler Thompson, said the game starts at 1 p.m. in Australia.
That's beautiful.
Prime time, 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, Saturday. Oh, mint.
That is good.
Mint sauce.
Is there just one time zone in Australia?
What's that?
Is there just one time zone in Australia?
No. Do we have a Perth is...
I've never been.
Australia is like
a huge country.
Probably in the top five size countries.
I think it's the fourth biggest country in the world.
Yeah. So
Canada, Russia.
So then now that you just said that, would you not think there's multiple time zones?
That would make a lot more sense, wouldn't it? So maybe someone in Australia is getting this game at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
There is a time zone difference sometimes between Queensland and New South Wales because one subscribes to Daylight Savings and one the other
three time zones in Australia.
And then Perth is obviously the West Coast. So it's what, 2, 3, 4 hours? It's probably 3 hours, 2, 3 hours.
Interesting.
All right.
The more you know. Jinx.
All right. That is a wrap on part one of today's Sherwood Ford Giant game day festivities live from Los Angeles. Remember, pre-gaming with Boardsy tonight, post-gaming with Boardsy, Pat Puff, Brett Holden. Everyone's going to be down at Greta partying it up and hopefully celebrating an Oilers win afterwards. We will chat with you in about 5 hours when we kick off our two-hour pre-gaming extravaganza. Thanks for tuning in today. Shout out to Miriam, who's watching in Slovakia. Whoa. Hell yeah. We'll chat with everybody.
Thank God it's not Slovenia.
Why? Oh, that's Andy Kopitar.
Yeah, we are an anti-Slovenia, pro-Slovakia podcast.
Yes.
Only in terms of hockey players. Yeah. Love both countries individually. One of you birthed Andy Kopitar. Mm. Shame on you.
The other one birthed.
You know who you are.
Slovakian.
Miroslav
Šatan. Yeah.
Aleš Kodalík.
Well, Czechoslovakia was once a country, so there's probably a few guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Liam.
You're welcome. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye everybody, chat with you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. it'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.